What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, FMLA and the Athletic Trainer. FMLA is the Family Medical Leave Act. So the FMLA and the Athletic Trainer is a very tough situation because you can't just have somebody walk in to the athletic training room and do what we do. As a teacher, a substitute can come sit in and teach or, you know, just make sure they do their assignment or their lesson, but you can't do that with an athletic trainer. It is not legally possible. So we're going to speak with Ms. Vani Kandi. She's in our HR department. She said coming up on 23 years in our HR department, so she should know this well. Lots of questions about FMLA. And then an athletic trainer, Alex is... Alex Ager is currently dealing with the situation to where his coworker is about to go out on FMLA, and so they were preemptive and got a full-time replacement or part-time replacement for Kelly while she's out. So we're going to get a little bit of background, what we need to know about the FMLA, and then we're going to get how Alex accomplished getting it done. And again, it's being preemptive and having stuff prepared and not just waiting till after the fact. So it's not always going to work out because sometimes if there's a, you know, car accident or something like that, then you can't prepare as well. But with a pregnancy, you should be able to prepare at least 7 months or so. So this week, again, I already introduced our guest, Ms. Kandi Vondi. See, now I can't remember.
Bonnie Kandi.
See, now it's like a constant messing up. I know it. I email you often. All right. And then Alex Ager on the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, sitting right beside me. We've got
Ben,
Jose,
Jaylene,
Liz,
Kevin.
And Kevin. So, Kevin, this is going to be your question to start us off to get them warmed up. If you want to join this conversation, it is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. That's where you'll find the YouTube video. And this episode is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/FMLA, where there will be links to the resources that Alex gave, a link to the resources for FMLA. So without much further ado, Kevin, why don't you start us off with this question right here.
For the rest of your life, would you rather have straight knees or straight elbows?
Probably knees. Why is the next question?
Yep. Why?
Oh, my God.
Alex, be prepared with your answer.
Okay. Alex, I'll turn it over to you now.
Okay, Alex, she's going to think about why she would choose that. Straight knees or straight elbows?
I would choose straight elbows. You can still use your hands. You can move your arms a bit, at least. You know, you have pretty good range of motion in the shoulders. But knees, straight knees, that makes mobility very, very difficult. And at least in my profession, in athletic training, you know, I need to be able to get up and move around pretty quickly. So pretty easy answer for me.
Okay. All right, so what you got? Why did you choose straight knees? Straight
knees. Well, with his explanation, I think I would change my answer now. I would still have my movement of my hands, but I guess with straight knees, you would not have the same mobility with your feet. I'm not sure.
Now we're going to go to what is the purpose of FMLA?
The purpose is to protect someone's job that has had a serious health condition and or pregnancy. They may not have sick leave built up, and so FMLA was created to protect those people that had something drastic happen to them and probably no control of, and yet still be off with a family member or themselves and have their job protected.
All right. And so let's discuss some of the basic rules, some of the basic information about FMLA.
In order to qualify for FMLA, you had to have been employed by your employer for 12 months, and you had to have worked 1,250 hours in order to qualify for 12 weeks or up to 12 weeks of FMLA.
What happens if you don't qualify? Like, is there any exceptions to that rule or anything like that?
No, because the district does not set the rules. Those are set by the government. You had to be employed, and the 12 months do not have to be continuous months. As long as you were employed by your employer for 12 months, but the previous 12 months, you had to have worked the 1,250 hours.
Okay, so the 12 months didn't have to be consecutive as long as the previous 12 months you've worked that total volume of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha. And then how many normal days does it take to get that many hours? Do you have any idea?
I don't know, but generally...
You said how many hours is it? 12,000 hours?
1,250 hours.
Do the math real quick. 1,000 hours. You can use your phone or whatever, pull the calculator, but
divide that by 8.
Divide that by 8. 1,200 hours, right?
1,250 hours.
So 1,250.
Yes.
Divided by 8.
156.25.
156.25. So 156 days. Mm-hmm. All right. Fair enough. Okay. And then now we're going to talk to in a normal classroom, what considerations do you know of that they have to do? Like, what does a teacher have to do to apply for FMLA? I mean, once they've applied for and been approved, is there any other benefits, handling of the from the benefits office? You understand? What other considerations does a teacher, not an athletic trainer, teacher have to have as far as preparing for an absence like this?
Most teachers, and I'm going to refer to teachers because all of our employees aren't the same, but teachers, they generally get your lesson plans, things like that, ready in advance, because once you're on FMLA, you're not able to do any of that stuff while you're on FMLA. So most principals will request for the employee, especially when it comes to pregnancy, unforeseen emergencies, that's a little harder. But on pregnancies, principals try to have their employees have their lessons plans prepared for the 6 weeks, 12 weeks that you're going to be out for FMLA for the delivery of the baby.
Right. And so since Alex here is dealing with a coworker who's about to have a baby, for a normal pregnancy, it's 12 weeks after or 12 weeks total. Like if you take a week off before the scheduled birth of your child, is it?
Okay. I'm going to say we, the district, we don't allow you to just take off just a week before unless you're under doctor's care, because for FMLA, you have to be under doctor's care. But for maternity, you're generally out under doctor's care after delivery, 6 to 8 weeks. But the law allows a mother or a father to be out up to 12 weeks for the first year of the baby's life.
Okay, so up to 12 weeks for the first year. Okay, so it's the same for mother and father.
Yes. Now, if they work for the same employer, then it's 12 weeks combined.
Mm-hmm. So if my wife worked for the school district, then she would be able to take 12 weeks and I'd be able to take 0.
Correct. Or she could do 10, you could do 2.
Gotcha. And could those two be at the same time? So she's just after the baby's born, I'm taking 2 weeks off, and she's obviously taking those 2 weeks off too?
Yes.
Okay. So it doesn't have to be spread out across the calendar, but 12 weeks combined if you're working for the same employer.
Correct.
Man, that's cuts your time in half if you're working for the same employer. That's pretty brutal. Mm-hmm. So, okay, Alex, let's talk a little bit about your situation. So tell me what's going on over there.
Okay. Of course, we found out several months ago that my colleague was going to be out on maternity leave sometime in the realm of February/March. So we started this process in August, talking to administration, athletic director, and all of that as to what our options were when it came to filling the position while my colleague was going to be out. And I basically got the answer of nothing. Their best solution was to hire a substitute to come in and fill in during school hours. And when I told them that was not a possible choice, because we can't just have a substitute teacher come in and fill athletic training duties, and that no self-respecting athletic trainer should or would take a position being an athletic trainer for substitute pay only.
Okay, so what is the substitute pay there?
So for us, if you're not a certified teacher, then it's $75 a day for up to 19 days. And once you hit the 20th day, you get long-term sub pay, which bumps it up to $120 a day with retro pay. So you do get those 19 days back at $120 a day for up to 12 weeks. And that does not even come close to what the minimum hourly wage for an athletic trainer in Houston is.
Okay, so if an athletic trainer was to work for substitute pay, the first, you know, one question is that legal for them to work as a substitute? And then the other, I know you have the chart there, and I have a link to it in the show notes, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/FMLA. And I have a link to Alex's thing there. But what would the hourly expectation for a substitute athletic trainer? Would they be just during the day, or would they be expected after school as well if they're working just for the sub pay?
Just for the sub day pay, I would personally only have them be there during the day, because that's not enough money for them to pay for their own liability insurance for after school coverage. And that's not enough pay for the hours that we work after school and before school as well. It's more just damaging to the profession when you have someone work for that little.
Okay, so now legally, can a substitute do the job of an athletic trainer? Do you have any?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
They cannot.
I have no idea.
No idea. Okay. So Alex, you say no.
Yeah.
All right. So
yes, I have the law in front of me here. It's actually to the Texas Occupation Code.
Okay. So give me a brief overview of that.
So the actual quote I have is really short. It says from section 451.151 is a person may not hold the person out as an athletic trainer or perform any activity of an athletic trainer unless the person holds a license under this chapter, hence an LAT.
Okay, so I'm going to be absent the next 12 weeks. You're going to come over here, Alex, and be the substitute for me. So you're retired, but you still have your LAT. Can you be a substitute for my class? Can you perform the duties of an athletic trainer here at this school as a substitute?
Yes, that is a possibility within the law. It's just the pay, at least personally, is not worth it.
Okay, so as far as legal, then it should be okay as long as you're a licensed athletic trainer that's subbing for an athletic trainer.
Correct.
And you're hired by the district as a substitute. However, you would have to understand,
yes,
you'd be taking a very low salary. All right, so then let's talk about the process that you guys went through. Because obviously it didn't just start with, hey, we need a substitute for Kelly, so you guys need to give us one. Like, talk about the whole process.
I've actually been through this once before. My very first year at Spring High School, my colleague went out with viral heart failure for about 3 months, and we had no plan in place. And we actually did hire him in for sub pay only. And I did have her only work during school hours. So I covered all the games myself from January through the end of March. My first child was born. So, I wasn't even home, which was awful. So I used that as ammunition, got as much information as I could when I went to my athletic director to say, we have to find a way to fill in a full-time athletic trainer with actual pay. We brought up a couple of solutions for him in the athletic department, bringing up some type of stipend to help, even a little bit could help. But they swatted that down pretty quickly, saying they didn't have the money. So that's when I spent about 3 weeks just doing research. And at one point, I actually sent out an e-blast to a couple of different groups, TSATA, SWATA, GHATS, and some like that, asking what other schools have done in the past to fill long-term substitution athletic trainers. And someone brought up FMLA. And then when I looked into that and I saw that while my colleague is out, she will not be getting pay. Is that an opportunity that we can actually take what the money that she's not getting paid and put it into this position? And when I took it to my HR, they approved it actually right away, which was very helpful.
Okay, so something you said there is during FMLA, they're not getting paid?
In our district, when I was talking to our HR director, that while they're out on FMLA or long-term sick leave, that they stop receiving a paycheck after a certain period of time, after their days that they've accrued ran out. So yes, there is a period where they do not get paid, was my question.
Okay, so if Kelly, say she gets paid for 4 weeks, so maybe she has 30 days, or whatever it is, 4 weeks times five, say she got 25 days, 24 days, whatever it is.
Right.
So then that last part, she just would be at home for the next 8 weeks without a paycheck.
That is correct.
So does that sound about right? Okay, so.
Each employer is different.
Okay.
Because each employer could say while you're on FMLA, you're not being paid, period. We allow you to use your sick days while on FMLA. And then once you run out of your sick days, then you're docked your daily rate. We do have some employees out there that have more hours of paid leave than FMLA hours. And there's some, employees out there with little kids that, you have to take off when they're sick and things like that. And so it's hard for them to accumulate. But we try to encourage employees to try to save some days and, and carry over, because you're allowed to carry over as many days, on sick leave, so that when something bad, or I shouldn't say bad, but maternity comes around or an emergency, you have those sick days because you're only paid in the number of sick days you have.
Okay. So Bill, my coworker here, has like a full contract year, like 180 days or something like mm-hmm. that saved up. I just did mine yesterday or the day before, and I have 60 days saved up. Mm-hmm. So if I took off for FMLA, I would have 60 days that I could get paid. And then after that, whatever other days I stayed, I would just not be paid.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that sounds correct, Alex, from your understanding, yeah. the way it works there?
Yes. Yes. Because Kelly has 27 days, and so she'll use those up, and she'll have a few weeks where she won't be getting paid.
Okay. And so what I thought you said was that after those days where she's not getting paid, then that's when you can have somebody sub for her and get paid?
No, that was where I was asking, where does that money go? And is it something that we can actually use? You know, so say for instance, I never got a whole answer from my HR department, and maybe Bonnie can answer this, but I believe I was told that that money, general fund, or to the general pool where teachers get paid from, to kind of help balance out the sheets. And so I was like, can we just take that and apply it as a stipend or for our hourly rate while Kelly is out? Not, so it'd only be that part after her days ran out till the end of the 12 weeks. So it'd only be partial. Does that make sense?
All right. Did you have any other comments there, Bonnie?
No, because I don't know if how that money works. That would probably be an HR or even maybe a finance question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so if I was trying to find out the answers to those questions, I would just need to contact HR and just say, hey, this is my situation. I'm trying to find out this information so that I can make a presentation to my athletic director. Would that be kind of the best route there?
Probably.
And then they would put me in the right direction.
Yes.
Okay. So you just got to start early and start asking mm-hmm. questions and then go through. All right. So Alex, tell us a little bit more about the process. You said you gathered as much information as possible, but we need to know the information you gathered, how you went about it, some of the troubles that you had getting that information. Obviously, you just said with your HR, you didn't feel like you got a straight answer or the answer you were looking for. But go ahead and talk more about the entire process so that we can walk every other athletic trainer in the nation through this as well.
All right. So again, like I said, I dealt with this before. So having some of that fuel really helped. So I started with my athletic coordinator, my campus coordinator, informed him of the pregnancy, said, okay, we need to start making a plan, and started to talk to my my administration in the building, some of the principals. So with their backing and understanding what I'm looking for, and that we have to have a licensed athletic trainer, that not just anybody can walk in off the street and do this job, that if anything, any snags I hit in the future, that I would have somebody to advocate for me. That's first and foremost, having somebody there to back you up. The second step was I went to my athletic director for the district and asked, since you are in charge of basically the athletic trainers hiring processes for all three of our high schools, what plans do we have to fill in long-term subs? And they basically told me nothing. We don't have any plans. So he then left it to me to figure out a solution. And my solution was, we need a stipend. We need some way to pay an athletic trainer above and beyond the substitute pay. So I know that we would get at least some of the substitute pay in this position, and then maybe the athletic department could help subsidize with either a stipend or with just some money that they have in reserves. That was basically a no-go right off the bat, but he said, do what you can to find out other solutions so that way he could take it to his superiors in the administration building and present it and show that we found every possible option for a solution. After that, this is when I came down to getting as much information as I could. Here it is to have answers. So that's when I sent out emails. I contacted other athletic trainers throughout Houston and Texas, and asking them, what did their school districts do? How did they fill long-term substitute positions for athletic trainers? Maybe some ideas of avenues how to go down. And so I posted, you know, on Facebook through TSATA, SWATA, GHATS, an e-blast through email in GHATS. And then, of course, contacting my close group of athletic trainers that I've known in my career, and got some awesome feedback about what they've done, how some people have had their athletic departments just step up and pay for it. Some people said that they got no help whatsoever, and they basically did a hybrid of having an athletic trainer step in for sub pay during the day and working all the events themselves. Some schools are lucky and they have contracts with hospitals that have PRN athletic trainers, and they're able to bill hours outside of school. So that was some of their answers. But the most, the biggest answer I got was using FMLA as a bullet. And when I sat down, I compiled all the information I could about why you have to have a licensed athletic trainer, what the state law says, what it takes to become an LAT, and what the going rate for an hourly paid employee athletic trainer in this goes for. And right now, the area of Houston is $35 an hour. So taking that, as well as some personal experiences we've had with my colleague being out, another person in our district for about 6 months, and she was out while her colleague was doing all the job himself and never could find somebody to help fill. So having shown some instances in district that we had with only one athletic trainer having to deal with as many sports as we deal with as many athletes. Here at Spring High School, we have 1,000 athletes. So having to deal with that many people with just one person is not a viable option. So that's when I broke down what the minimum salary for an athletic trainer is in Spring ISD, starting all of that, and then what it would cost to pay an hourly rate, and showed the HR the difference. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to money. How much is it going to cost? Where's the money come from? And I was looking back over my emails from HR, and it looks like they are pulling some money from the FMLA. I don't know how they're doing that or how they go about doing that, but they are pulling some money from FMLA, and the rest of the money is coming from the athletic department since we were able to help out. There was a lot to it, and I also had a lot of help with my administration. Your mic's off.
You're right, it is. My mic was off. Turn it off because I was talking to one of the kids. All right. So you feel like you have a supportive administrative staff, and that was a good place to start. So then you begin collecting the information, which would be the hourly rate for the athletic trainer, why you can't just have a substitute, what happens if, say in this case, what happens if Kelly's not there, what it's going to look like for you hourly and daily. And I know in your paperwork, you included a schedule of all the practices and things that will be going on and things that just cannot, like an hourly schedule has all the different things and things that you will not cover and take care of. And so what happens right now if you have three different sites that need to be covered? So maybe you have soccer and baseball and softball. What do you guys do right now while both of you are still there healthy?
We try to split it as best we can. So luckily our softball and baseball are right back to back. So one person can cover that. And then the other person would be over at the soccer field. The one that's more challenging is when we have either softball or baseball, soccer and basketball. And the basketball season, we still have games. We have soccer starting and softball, baseball doing scrimmages. So that's a little confusing and hard sometimes because you have one person inside and one person outside covering two, possibly even three events if we have baseball, softball, soccer going at the same time. So we just spread ourselves the best as we can. We also have a lot of students that help out.
So in your discussions right now, you are probably having events go uncovered there where there's no athletic training providing care because you have one of you covering three events and one of you covering the basketball inside. How do you go about that conversation, or did that come up at all?
It did. When we had to sit down with our athletic director so I could show him exactly why I need at least one other person to do this full time, not just during the school day. So I sat down and I showed him, you know, it's very easy to have 3 to 4 events happening on campus at one day, at one time, and that one person trying to cover 4 events is nearly impossible. 3 just the same. It's very easy to have a fairly major event happen on the soccer field, you know, talking about a concussion or a major fracture that could really hinder the safety of the child. And then, you know, someone gets hit in the head with a baseball. How do I prioritize that? It's hard. So the liability cost that could be associated with not having proper coverage was a lot of ammunition as well.
All right. So again, what if I'm the athletic director and saying, well, look, I mean, right now, if Kelly's sick and you got all that stuff going on, you're going to be able to cover it by yourself. What if she goes home puking today and you got 3 different games? So I don't see why it's any different.
Right. And that's something that we face all the time. And that's when you tell them, you know, so far we've been lucky and haven't had an issue, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that we have 2 major injuries occur at the same time in two different places, and how do I prioritize that, and how are we supposed to come to the parent and say, well, we have one athletic trainer on duty. He was outside dealing with another kid with a spinal injury on the soccer field. So that kind of takes precedent over somebody getting beamed in the head with a baseball at 80 miles an hour who could be suffering from a brain aneurysm at the time and we can't see it. And if something really bad happens to that child, who's at fault? The fault is going to lie on the athletic director, the athletic district, because they're the ones that are responsible for making sure that these things are covered properly.
Okay. So what was the hardest part about this whole process for you, Alex?
The hardest part was convincing my athletic director to let me take this into my hands and go to HR directly, since I was the, athletic directors, as much as they want to, they don't understand our job quite as well as an athletic trainer. Even if they've dealt with athletic trainers their entire career, whether they were coaches or what have you. So I didn't feel, if he was going to represent me at an HR meeting without myself there, that we would have gotten the information across properly. So I told him that I could just go and make the meeting myself. And if need be, I could bring along one of my administrators, whether that be my athletic coordinator or one of the principals. That was kind of that, to kind of push him out. But he was kept in the loop the entire time.
So was it difficult for you to ask that question or for you to convince him to allow you to do that?
I'd say kind of both. The convincing wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be, because he is a person that likes to be in control and understand that his department is being taken care of, which is understandable. But asking was difficult because, I'm an athletic trainer, and sometimes in coaches' eyes or athletic directors' eyes, we're not on the same ground. We're not peers. So times feel like them, the coaches or the athletic directors, don't respect what we say and what we ask.
Okay, so I'm going to kind of tell you guys, Vonnie, I'm going to tell you the same, my situation, what we did on on November 13th, I had a son born, right? So we actually had a tournament up here, and I was supposed to be working it. Sarah calls me and says, it's time. I was like, okay, guys, I already told y'all beforehand, it's going to be sometime soon, so I'm leaving, right? So here, there's games going on campus. Bill's off doing something else because I was assigned to work the tournament. And Bill and I had arranged that I would, until Thanksgiving, I wasn't coming in at all. I wasn't doing anything until after Thanksgiving break. And so then between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I was only going to come in. I was going to work during the day. And then that way Bill was just working the afternoon shift or the games and that kind of stuff between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And that's our slowest time of year as far as games. I don't know if you know that, Bonnie, but all we really have going on is boys and girls basketball. Or as he was talking about, we have basketball, soccer, baseball, track, all that stuff going on in the spring, which is when Kelly's going to be out. And so that was our situation. Now, I didn't in any way think about getting somebody to sub. I told Randy, our district athletic trainer, he's the one that kind of fills in when we're absent or something like that, that was going to be our situation. And I know I came over there to HR and I completed the FMLA. Mm-hmm. And so I was taking half days during December because I was really only working half a day. And that still worked as FMLA. But given that situation where I took off like a full week and then I took off half a day for almost a month, how could I have better prepared for that situation? I know you don't have all the details. You weren't in here at the same time, but
you probably did everything you could ahead of time. I know board policy states anything that's you're out more than 5 days for the same reason that you're required to do the FMLA. Mm-hmm. So basically you were prepared. You knew. Now, had something happened the night before and you were in a car accident, which you don't have time to prepare, we're always a little more lenient on that, but we also have timelines still that we need to get things done. But overall, based on what you just said, you did everything in order ahead of time. If we could only have all of our employees do that, that would be great. But really, there's not much more we could ask of you because you prepared yourself in a timely manner. So.
All right. Alex, what are your thoughts on the way that I handled that situation?
I feel that was good. Obviously, the more you can prepare and be ready, the better, but we can't always. You know now that getting a substitute is an option, but it's the hardest part is finding someone that'll come in and work as an athletic trainer, even during the day for sub pay only. So all I can say to anybody is be as prepared as possible, but not every situation is going to allow that.
All right. So obviously I didn't even consider finding a substitute athletic trainer. When the first time you experienced this, Alex, did you consider finding a substitute athletic trainer?
Yeah. Like I said, a couple of years ago when that happened, I did. I hired a young lady straight out of her master's degree that was not able to find a job in the fall and who was just kind of working as a PRN here and there. Now, while she was only going to be getting $120 a day, providing athletic training services during the school hours from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. whenever we were done, she had no qualms with that because she was at least getting a regular full-time job, if you want to call it that.
So she was getting some experience, some kind of supervised experience, getting a paycheck. So
yeah.
And without having to do all the after-school stuff. So
right. It worked out pretty well. It was just, exhausting having to work all those school events by myself.
Right. And so with our first child, he was born at the very end of July. So I was at home for like 2 days. And then I went back because we had, to get everything ready for football. So obviously you can't plan for a car crash. We're not really discussing that. But if it's a planned absence, so maybe a surgery or maybe you're going to have chemo treatments in the next 6 months or something, then, for our situation, I would, and Alex, I'm sure you aren't excited about this, but I would highly recommend taking off the most time allowable to be at home with the family, because that first child changes your life completely. And so everything is difficult. And I've told this before. Sarah was in the nursery, which is right next to the kitchen, feeding the baby. And I'm in the kitchen washing the dishes. And she was mad at me because I was washing dishes and not sitting there with her while she was feeding the baby. Because all of the hormones and the stuff that's going on, all the changes, all the adjustments, and nobody's sleeping. And so that time is extremely stressful, even if you're there. Well, I wasn't there. And so if I had just taken the time and I'd been there, then we could have worked through things a lot easier. And so, Alex, I hope that Kelly is gone for 12 weeks. I hope that you have a good sub that works with you for a while. But I hope that every athletic trainer in this situation either encourages their spouse or themselves take as much time as you possibly can and then go from there. So save up those sick days. Like I said, I have 66 sick days, and I think that's where my disability insurance kicks in too, is about 60 days. So that's about where I try to keep it. And so I would definitely recommend preparing ahead of time, taking advantage of all that FMLA can give you, saving up as many days as possible, and then working in advance. So Alex, his tip sheet or things that he did, his notes are there. Alex, you got any other parting thoughts, tips, things that people should really look out for?
The biggest thing is you have to be your biggest advocate. Don't let a couple of no's stop you, and make sure you get someone behind you with weight, whether that's administration or even your head coach, whether that's football or basketball, someone that can stand up to administration, HR, or whomever, the athletic department, and say, hey, we have to have this. So that's it. You do what you need to do to get it filled, and don't take no for an answer.
All right, Vani, any other thoughts on preparing for FMLA?
Stay in communications with your benefits office or HR. We're there to help you in any way possible. Completing forms, getting forms faxed, whatever, we're there to help.
And then afterwards, so again, after the birth of a child, you got to make sure you go in and get them added to the insurance. And, right. I've done that 3 times. We've had 3 kids. And obviously, you're very helpful. You're here on the podcast. You volunteered to come over here and talk with us and help us understand FMLA. So thank you very much. I think you guys do a great job there. It benefits, easy to communicate with. And so thank you there.
Thank you.
All right. So stay in communication. Don't take no for an answer. Start early. Prepare. Alex, somebody wants to get a hold of you to ask you some of their specific questions about their situation and how you would handle it. How are they going to do that?
Probably my cell phone is the best, which is 254 733-3949 or through email at aager@springisd.org.
All right, so getting a hold of Alex, if you have some specific questions, you can call or text because he gave you a cell phone, or you can email him at aager@springisd.org. And then, Vani, would you be available to answer general questions? Obviously, being district-specific is a consideration, but general questions would be available if somebody was to email you?
Yes.
And that email is?
Be like in Vicky, C-O-N-D-E. At PasadenaISD.org.
All right. So again, district policies are different. So make sure you understand what your district is. But if you had more questions about general things or things that way that we do things here in Pasadena, and maybe that'll help get some of your questions answered wherever you are. Again, I think we have a really good school district, really good communication. And again, like Alex said, it's because you just keep asking, you keep fighting and not just getting angry because somebody doesn't get back to you right away, but give them a chance, keep working, and go from there. So without much further ado, I want to, again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/FMLA. Don't forget to check out sportshealth.com/SMB where you can register and win a gift card. Shout out to Matt Babasek. He just won the last one, and I'm not sure what he's bought yet. So he's out in Mesquite ISD, listen to the Sports Medicine Broadcast on the regular. And then Frio Hydration, my boy Robbie, has got lots of cool stuff planned for NATA 2017 here in Houston, because that's where we are. So check him out. Tell him that you heard about him on the Sports Medicine Broadcast, and he'll get you some good discounts on the Frio Hydration. So FrioHydration.com, check him out. Some really good carts. I've really been impressed with ours so far. So again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/FMLA. Alex and Vani, thank you so much for helping us understand how to prepare and best serve our student athletes. On most social medias, I am Mr. Jeremy Jackson. That is a wrap.